word in the warm embrace of your presence in this anointing that is here present. We enter in with confidence and boldness, yet with a humble heart, fully aware of our human limitations, to deliver as well as we see the word of the God of all wisdom. Constantly we ask you for supernatural assistance and help. Spread thankfully among you, firstly, upon my heart and my lips, indeed I ask you to receive an order of God. Secondly, on the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me, who will physically present and will be getting me remotely out of Tuesday. This word will have free course from you, Father, through me, to the people, to be as internal as eternal is in every heart, including my own. Causing our wills to become more humble, this our minds be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and our emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So the prayer of that speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released, Father, from your throne, in all of sufficient to all these words and back them up. Wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will bring yoke, power that will free men, so that they will become doers of the things which they hear and not hear against. But I pray for mercy for the faithful deliverers of the world. And then I pray with precision, redeem the time. Speak only what you want me to say. Bring it out of the treasure of this word, since you know indeed as a scribe and steward of the people. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all of in agreement with this prayer, receiving the blessing in their individual life, saying in agreement. Today, a prophetic landmark message. We're in the season of the fulfillment of God's plan and purpose for His church. The perfection, the manifestation of the all sons of God, the glory of God, that will then lead to the perfection of the church. The blessing of the nation and the discipleship of every tribe from the kindred of the earth. These are the things that lie before us. Jesus, during his earthly ministry, taught in this way. He taught prophetically. He would say things that were in the future. But he was speaking presently to his disciples. For instance, to take it out his simple example, is when he talked about eating his bread and drinking his blood. The time for its fulfillment was still like a year ahead, a year and a half, but he began to teach about it. Another time, he said, I am the resurrection of the life. He wasn't getting raised from the dead yet, but he began to talk about it, and the medicine stayed there. So many things like that, the Lord Jesus would teach you about. One time he went to the temple, and he was a piece of tabernacle. And the Bible tells us, he let his brother go first. He said, my time will come. And he went secretly. When he got there, he taught two people that at the end of the feast, that was the last day, to steal
And then he mounts up. Let him pour unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. John, recording that incident, which is after John wrote the Gospel of John, he wrote it about 46 years after Jesus died. But with this, he now put in parentheses in a book, said, this is of the Holy Spirit. He said, but the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified, not the church. But Jesus Christ, that's one of the aspects, probably the major aspect of the prophetic ministry. Prophets do not come and prophesy every day, but even New Testament prophets, they do it as a possible to help us. So, they do, but that's not all they do. A great deal of time to teach prophetically about what is the purpose of God for the future, and teach, as well as prophetic teaching, the things Israel ought to do so that that purpose that has been spoken of, they will begin to do it so that that purpose will come to pass. And that is what I'm going to do this afternoon by the mercy and the grace of God. This is a prophetic landmark message that I've never preached before. I've been various of it over the years, but this is new in a sense that it's not new in the Bible, but new in the sense that it's right. And that word is entitled Bethlehem, Hebron, and Zion. Bethlehem, Hebron, and Zion. The life of David typifies the life of the Christian who will go all the way with God. I was sharing with somebody recently, a pastor or something, I can't remember. And he was asking me a lot of questions about things that are going on in the church and how bad things are, problems and blah, blah, blah. So I said to him, I was talking to him over the phone, I remember, as a pastor. So I was talking to him and I was encouraging him. And I said, the Old Testament contains prophets and shadows that give us an overview of what God is doing now. So when you know it, then you're not bothered because you know why it's happening and you know how it's going to wind up. And so I said to him, I said, basically, there are three kinds of Christians. They're all typified in the Bible. Three types of Christians: Saul, Jonathan, and David. Paul is Christian, he's called God, called of God, anointed. Apostle, the Lord of Israel. Fine fellow. Dolphus was one of the most tragic stories in the Bible. When I think of it sometimes, I want to cry. The Lord has a fine child. Excellent child. He wound up on the wrong side of destiny. And of course, David is the one that goes all the way through. And I said in the Pentecostal, in this move, we all start together. All of them are in the past together. Each man took a different road to destiny. He said, of course, that would be very clear. And it's very easy to understand. You have to make it your mind that you're going to be a Saul, or you're going to be a Jonathan, or you're going to be a David. God does not predestinate people. He produces events and conditions. When you fulfill the condition, they are now determining the events that you fulfill. It will be that way, and why God will be part of us. God will be and God will affect our persons. We will see this from the story in the lives of people about us. The other day, I was at a wedding ceremony of a family fair. One of the people that was sitting next to me, and the priest was talking, he was talking about Ruth, And I was telling him, I said, Ruth is one of the most wonderful stories in the Bible. There is a lady who has no pedigree. In fact, the fact that she was married to an Israelite was out of the will of God. In the Old Testament, they were not supposed to marry Moabites. So, even the marriage was out of the will of God. But this young Moabite girl, because of the heart that she had for God, God stretched him out and made her enjoy the blessings of the age to come. At a time when ordinarily people are not senses, because now it's not the God. You know, it was while the Indian brothers were making their vows, and then the priest came to me and they were talking, and he was saying, you know, to one of the people, he said to me, he said, wow, you know, then we now go to this, and I told him, I thought, and he said, do you know who's made that vow to Naomi after I'm hoping I died? When she was weak? The vow came at this. Just he was under no obligation whatsoever to meet the commitment to Naomi. But it's you cannot understand the story of Ruth. I'm sure I was serious with the person who said to me, I love it together. I said, I didn't do it for Naomi. If you keep looking at Naomi, you miss the picture. Naomi was one of the most unattractive persons to call me. She said, don't call me Naomi, call me Mama. An old woman who was bitter with God and bitter with God. And I went out fully and came back peace. Believing God. But it was not God who made me into God. She went out because of bread. She went out because of material things. She went out looking for material things in the trees and she went, they went from God to send them. God didn't send them to Moab. They went because of what they could eat. The husband died. The mission is coming. If you live out of the church, you fall down. Amen. But this young Moabite girl, who came from an idol worshiping background, saw in this Jewish family, she stood with a period of time. People are seeing the truth. The God of my father is not the truth. Therefore, when this woman goes to go with her, she has concern, contact, and I can know that trigger. If you say that, they will force him back to the God of my fathers. That is the story, the baseline of the story of Davis. Also, Naomi, and now of one, when Naomi came to him and said, why are you following me? You are me. Why are you following me? I don't have any song for you to write. Even if the mercy and the grace of God has been that grace of God, and the hand of that grace of God. And if you are a man tonight and you will be able to wait until you give them love and marry them, you are a man who wants to be a host to continue to be wrong. To own some things. But who shall be a man? If you make a vow, which will be married to but you make it to your man. To make it to a mother-in-law and to the God of mother-in-law. So to choose the man to be good. For where you go, I will go. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. And when you die, there will not die. There will be very complete total commitment. God said, this one is a piece of destiny. This Ruth will become the great great grandmother of David. I'm coming back to my David message. This one will be the great great grandmother of David, and through her he will bring the Christ. For I must come through and for the whole world, the eyes of the Lord, and I will not find the person of sweet princess. That was the story of the commitment that was even greater than the marriage commitments. I think we have that. Look around, it is written for our admonishment. You are allowing God to be committed. What are you committing to? Never forget it. It was not Naomi. Naomi was a catalyst. But God was the source. Keep following man, and don't, if you cannot see God behind the man, you will get blue. So that's why we have three kinds of Christians. We have Paul, we have Jonathan, and we have David. David represents the Christian that will all the way with God. Saul has a vision that starts through God, but it is started along the way. Because of material things, pride, and so when he saw go to heaven, I want to believe he did. He said he suffered loss, so he knew Jonathan. But you know, certainly Jonathan didn't go to hell, you know. Certainly, and when Samuel appeared to Saul, when he broke out of the reach of the kingdom, Samuel spoke and said, you are your son who didn't hear. So they all did it. But he presents him as going to heaven. So that is good. He says it's more than God dying in a resurrection class and going to heaven. It's fulfilling destiny that will now determine your peace in heaven. We're not going to be the same in heaven. And the more important, and that is important, but not more important. In terms of importance, fulfilling your destiny here on the earth. So God can fulfill you all that He planned to be in your life. So you can fulfill your destiny and then be a blessing to so many others. Many people have lived selfish, self-centered Christian lives, and their lives don't touch very few, they never put people. They go to heaven, but like the Apostle Paul says in the book of Corinthians, this is something lost. And this is their safe trust by fire. You know, it's a borderline kind of case. You don't want to do that. So, this David now represents to us the Christian that goes all the way with God. And his life is typifies our experience as Christians that we could experience. Now, David had three anointings. That's what I want to talk about today. And I typify them by Bethlehem, Hebrew, and Zion. David was chosen by God sovereignly. God sent Samuel to the house of his dad, Jason. He wasn't even there. They didn't even reckon with him. He went to go and call him and came to anoint him. So the first anointing was in Bethlehem, in his father's house. The second anointing was in Hebron. After David had wandered the wilderness for about 40 or 15 years, he was going to die, and God became a never come to pass. Although the prophet had spoken and anointed him, the experiences he was having were contrary to what the prophet said. Everything was began, anointed him. Yet, he was in the wilderness with a bunch of vagabonds, those that were distressed. Those that were in debt, they were all people who had all kinds of problems, you know, a bunch of, you know, they were tired of suffering, actually, they were good people, but many of them were just, you know, so they joined together with him, and they were, and Saul was trying to kill him, a whole army was looking for him all over the wilderness, and he went for 2 weeks, he went for 3 years, he went for over 14 years. He got to a stage, David thought, in trouble now. And in a man's experience,
he wants to be God, the Lord is commanded from the Lord of God. That kind of over the years, I've learned to the comments. You go, I know exactly how he feels. How he felt about that. Because so one day, you have to stop having this. I don't even know if I wake up tomorrow and I'll see you, you know, the evening, you know, so one day before we do you know, he lost sound and that's why we prophetic message. He lost sound of the prophetic word. He's discouraged. He focused on what was going around him. He focused on the wilderness and the pastures of the squall and the desert. You know, even the insults and all kinds of people, his neighbors talking nonsense about him. He said, "Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse?" Everybody who has met his master is looking at God's food and Jesse needs to come and give him bread and Jesus needs to heal. He leaves the land of Israel in discouragement and goes to the land of the Philistines and draws up with a king called Gera. And he says something wrong in his promise. This is a prophetic word that we'll go back to in a minute. In a place of Mississippi, the scripture tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 27, I think this is verse 4, 5, 6, 5, 6, 7, he says, "And to this day, Ziklag pertains unto the kings of Judah." That was back to the historical. But prophetically, if you are going to become a spiritual king, you must go to it. It is a place of preparation. Nobody can get the anointing in Hebron without a Ziklag experience. So the second anointing. After he leaves Ziklag, he leaves Ziklag, and Saul is still in battle with the Philistines, you know, and he comes back. Then the house of Judah, the tribe of Judah, anoint David as his second anointing. I'm going to tell you what that is in our own life today. This is second anointing. He now gets anointed a second time. But it's a limited anointing because it's not over the whole of Israel, it's only over Judah. But he's anointed, thank God for that. Then the third anointed, after 7 years down the road, 7.5 years, where the whole of Israel now finally recognize and submit to David as king, then they come and they anoint him the third time, and still over the whole of Israel, he's Zion. So we have these three anointings, and this is Bethlehem, Hebron and Zion. The David Christian, or should I say, the Christian that has a David heart. Let me say that to you. You know, let me correct the Holy Spirit just teaching me. The Christian name is open to everybody. Not everybody who is done David, but it's open to everybody. You've got to go respect to the persons. You know, the Christian that develops a David heart. That's a big deal. I think the president here is God, I've got a big heart. That's what I want to focus on. I want to focus on these three wrong things. The Christian that develops a David heart is destined to get these three wrong things. First of all, the honor of the best of him. And secondly, he'll be anointed in Hebron. And then finally, he'll be anointed in Zion. What does this speak to us today? 25, I've said those things, but I don't want to put some scripture behind what I said. First of all, let's go to the first anointing. The scriptures are written so that we can see the Bible tells us, you know, that these things are written for admonition to whom the end of the world has come. So, through the comfort
all the scripture we might have hope. That's why the Bible was given to us. So that we can look into these accounts and then we can see what the Holy Spirit is saying to us today through the scripture. And that's why the Apostle Paul said twice in there, more than twice, but two places that he prepared. He said that, you know, these things are a symbol of the shadow, you know, but the reality is in Christ. But what is writing about Abraham and faith and trying to help us and carrying our faith in Christ? You know, I thought something wonderful, isn't it? You know, and which one I want us to apply here. You know what he said? He said, the scripture seemed that all of the world was going to be justified through the pain. That God now said, preach the gospel to Abraham. In the book of Genesis, when Abraham came out and looked at the scripture of before Jesus was born, when he was 75 years old, he just told him, God had come, look at the stars, he looked at the stars, and God said, God saw the beings. And the Bible says that Abraham began to be God. And the Bible says, God was recommended to be God. In the same way Abraham was justified because he believed God. He says, the scripture. Here was, if you look at scripture, King David, so was coming in the future. That's the attitude there. And that's what I want us to do. And this one is in scripture. First of all, look at 1 Samuel chapter 16. First Samuel, Jesus mentioned, chapter 15, and look at verse 1, verse 12, and verse 13. Verse 1, First Samuel, chapter 15. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing how he kept him for regular labor? Put thy horn with oil, and go and I'll send thee to Jesse, what? Bethlehem. That was the Bethlehem. Say it again. For I have provided me a king among his sons. A couple of times, drop to verse 13. Look at the first anointing. David's first anointing. Then, we will look at the background, you know, we call David on that day here. Samuel took the horn. And anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forth. David is anointed with his dad's house. Where is his dad's house? Now, let's move forward to the New Testament. You are not the answer for David. If you're born again, you're the house of God. It's not. It's kind of big for them, because Bethlehem is the house of God. See, you can see people in your house the word of God. Then God will not anoint you with the Holy Spirit. It goes to the Thomas. You move into a supernatural experience that the Christian who hasn't had that experience doesn't have. It's your first anointing. This is the same. Then David anointed the scattered in Hebrew. We're not going to go to Hebrew immediately. We're going to go to Hebrew. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 27. Go to Hebrew in a minute. And I want you to first of all look at verse 1. The king said, "You hardly hear me. I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul." Anybody tell you, is that wrong to me? So never say that in your mouth. When you are in difficult situations, never use your mouth to say you will not fulfill your destiny. God overrode it. He said the word, but God's mercy and God's grace overrode it. But don't you do that. Don't ever say, "I will do it." You will not do it. You will live. And you will declare the glory of God in the land of the living. If that woman go out to life, and take that woman to live, but you, David, will not perish. Everyone said, "David will not perish. I am a David. I am developing David. I will not perish." No matter what's going on around you, I think that good reason to take you there. Good reason. And so, it's not for me, all the things that you do, just going around with him around 1,500 people with you, and everybody says, "No, there's just any." No, some of the minutes. Amen. You don't want to see me. I just, you know, go back to 1 Samuel 27. And then, you know, so he went to the Lord of the Philistines. You know, he actually ran away from Saul. Thinking that if he did that, that's his, you know, the house of respite. Now, go to verse 7 of 1 Samuel 27. First of all, let's look at the verse that says, and Ziklag was to the kings of Judah to this day. I think it's verse 6. Thank you. Yes. They actually gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore, now this is very important, this is important, it's important, and it's applicable and it's applied to us today. Wherefore, Ziklag became under the king of Judah unto it. And then unto this day, I will say properly. Say properly. Not unto them, but even this day. Because Ziklag was a rich Negro. Not Ziklag, no Negro. They always tell us about a king of Israel. Jesus said, but if you will have found a king of Israel. Next verse 7. Says, "And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was what? I love that fool. In 2 years and 4 months. In the New Testament, what does Ziklag and then Hebron? Let's go to Hebron and then we'll turn it together. Look at 1 Samuel chapter, where am I? Chapter 2, verse 4. 2 Samuel, chapter 2, verse 4. And the men of Judah came to Ziklag and there they what? Anointed David king over the house of Judah. Everybody say, "Second anointing." The first one, Bethlehem. You see the second one now. The second one now is at making over Judah. And this is in Hebron. Where is that scripture? Where it says, you know,
I still read the Bible and God told me to go to Hebrew. It's one of the few verses before this. Verse 1. Very good. And it came to pass, as after the death of Paul, then he cried, O Lord, saying, the Lord God of the witnesses of Judah, and the Lord said unto him, go. And then he said, where shall I go up? And he said unto him, where? Hebrew. Let's put it all together. The same anointing is the borrowed anointing you get. The same happened here. When the borrowed anointing you get, that God takes off the leader that has inherited the borrowed anointing before you. The typical example of Jesus. Jesus has the full spirit without measure. He gets it at the baptism of John. He goes in the wilderness of 40 days, comes back and is tested, and comes back to the power of the Spirit. Jesus alone, a person that loves him for about a year. We know that from Scripture, and I'm going to tell you earlier, because he was taken from me for about a year, because he started around Passover. Now at the King of Galilee, which is before Passover, and by the time we see him call the 12 apostles, and give them that anointing in Luke chapter 9, there's a lot of Passover that has come back. Because during the battle that has been killed, and the feast of Passover is now, you can think of that from all the scriptures. So we know it's about a year. We know from about a year. So, in the same way with us, you have to follow the man of God that is anointed in this way, you know, like Elijah. Elijah followed Elijah. If you follow with your heart, and you obey, and you obey the instructions, and all of that for about a year here, almost, then this experience will become yours. You will then get, it says, second, it's bigger than what we got when we got the Holy Ghost. Because you, like the apostles, you raise the dead. Jesus gave them the whole thing. He said, change the lepers, raise the dead, you know. Freely you have received some devils. Freely you have received freely. The Bible says they went and healed everything. Everything Jesus did, they duplicated it. But it was not that long or the burden on him. Even the hope for us is, nobody was even the good got it. Because John told me, now he's no longer snuggled in his name and he followed John the name of the Lord. The teeth in the spirit is what was going on. And God made that anointing available to him. So this is the second anointing. This is Hebron. Then the last anointing is in Zion. Zion, let's go there. Second Samuel chapter 5, verse 3. Why am I so long in scripture here? Like Paul says, the scripture seed. The scripture seed. So, through the scripture, you can see by the revelation of the Holy Spirit what God has in store for you and heard. And then you know what you ought to do, which is the sense of the prophetic teaching. So, all the elders, I didn't hear you, of Israel came to the king, to Hebron, and David made a league with them in Hebron. I didn't hear you. Before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Judah. Israel. To be fully anointed. This represents this. When you now inherit it by your own spiritual development, that is actually about something that someone else did more, depending on, you know, the spiritual content of the time in which you're living. But usually, because you see Jesus, you can go from 12 to 18 years. Jesus at 12 represents us in praising perfection. He wasn't doing miracles, but he had no sin in him. That takes us, it will take us about 3 years to get that, but that could do you can get from one. You know, you see that in Joseph, you see it in the third person. Joseph is a type, Jesus is a type. Being given your type, you know, indeed 14 years, and then 7 years into the house of people, so in 1 year, you will give us a kind of timeline of what the Lord is doing. So, for us as Christians, being closed now, we have every, I'm not saying it in a funny way, the way it's coming out in my heart, you know, every David Christian. And not every Christian is a David. Every David Christian is destined. Yeah, the first anointing is incidentally both Saul and Jonathan had that same anointing. Saul had the anointing to his hand, he was another king. And Jonathan was anointed, well, he wasn't really as king, but he had that same function on him, you know, and David. But David went beyond the first anointing. They died with only the first anointing. It will not be a problem in Jesus' name. Saul died with the first anointing. Jonathan died with it. They never went beyond that. And so many Christians today. And when you know there's anything beyond. The life is not supposed to end in Bethlehem. It's supposed to move on from Bethlehem to Hebron. Sometimes Hebron. May you stop in Hebron. And you keep going and going and going and going. And finally you wind up in Zion, in Jerusalem, to speak. You know, where you need to pray the full faith. What we see in Jesus is similar. So we all start at Bethlehem, we develop and grow, following, that's how you need to have people, your colleagues, spiritual fathers, don't follow people who are not going anywhere. So many people are going to work. Then you get to Hebron, you get a borrowed anointing, then you move on, and then you get to Zion, where you get the full anointing. The spirit without, let me call it our, the spirit without the name. The Hebron is spread out like it, but it's limited in scope, and we see that in the Apostles, the 12 and the 17. You get a measure of it. You know, thank God for that. You know, but all along the path. So as we speak, as I speak to this afternoon, God is preparing the church. We are eagerly awaiting the manifestations of the sons of God, the glory of God throughout measure, you know, that will be carried by some people who will still hold it. Then all those who are following after this, this is the route that God has to follow after. You're going to have to go from Bethlehem, and from there you go to Hebron, via Ziglag, and then finally you come unto Zion. It is crucial for us to understand that this is a prophetic peace that lies ahead of us. The Bible says the sons of Israel were men of understanding, who have understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do. This is what it ought to do. Talk to God. Don't be like Saul. Saul is anointed, but not a beyond. Yeah, this is all that Paul can say to people. He put personal, physical relationship above spiritual relationship. He won't hold up Jesus. Do not put spiritual relationship above natural relationship. And he trusted Mary, the mother of God, the Holy Mother, to put her to John, he didn't trust her to James.
Jonathan would never have stained his dad in the palace. Jonathan was wrong, even though he was his son. Don't stain who doesn't know they were talking about your uncle or your auntie or whatever. If he had gone to his into the wilderness with David, he would have been like Nathan. He was a great man of David, and he might have had a great destiny.
But he made the wrong choice.
Not this guy,
the wrong choice. You don't want to do that either.
You want to be, you want to develop a David heart. And you don't make, you don't get discouraged. You want to see that love will never come. And you want to see the first thing. You stay there like a life. And nothing happens and stay staring and say, no, I will not. You have a lovely revenant, I will not lose it. Like Ruth. As a loveliness, I will not leave you. But he understood that Elijah was going to tell Elijah will be the place of testing. And then you see me, then you get a double purpose.
So this is true down for
you. You have to follow. You have to follow. Follow in other people's with somebody's church. Not necessarily. It means doing what they're saying. That little fellow who inherited the anointing, he wasn't about the Jesus church, church peak. All about the ministry. He was struggling. He began to bring in spiritual laws. And when he did, that same anointing that was on the 12 was on that man, even though they were running their group. We have our fathers, spiritual fathers of this generation. Before us, or the Wigglesworths and the King Hagens and the something that is made to follow. Do what they say, pray in the Spirit, I mean, one another every day. Have a humble heart. Develop the love of God. These are the things. You keep following that route, you will move from Bethlehem to Hebron. And then, unto that day. Yonder is calling us to a higher plane of grace. The Spirit upon the Lord is with me. I will never be back again. To
God, the people of I'm
The word has gone out. It is the word of the Lord to go out of Zion. Zion truly is calling us. God, from his throne in Zion, so to speak, is calling us to this hour of grace. We've got to leave Bethlehem. So many people to stay there. God, born again spirit, filled with the spirit, speaking in tongues. What is that man as a believer? We've got to move out of that comfort zone. Many times, it's just a windy road. Undulum, the wilderness of Ziglag, very uninteresting places. But they are all parts of the path to be God. And ultimately to Zion. Like David, make up your mind, you've got to go with God all the way. And unlike David, don't allow yourself to be discouraged because of the circumstances. There's a place where we are now in this house. Encourage yourself in the Lord, like David did when he got to Ziklag and all the children are really having trial of their mothers. He pursued and he recovered all. And how did he do that? He was an angel of evil. Look at him. And put the Lord on in the heart. Pray. Say, Father, I confess our sins as we clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Say, Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this prophetic word that has come concerning your plan for the David Church. For the church that develops a heart of David. Father, I make a commitment. I renew my commitment if I have been in the past. If I have not, I make a fresh new commitment now, Lord God, to develop, maintain, and increase a heart of David. And then follow up from Bethlehem to Ziklag to Hebron and onto Zion. I thank you for showing me in your word a clear path, a clear road of destiny. My God and my Father, I will not despise the pleasant land. Lord God, I will not despise your word. Lord God, I make up my mind and determine by your mercy and your grace that Elisha followed Elijah. I will follow this Zion anointing, this Zion truth of the perfection and fullness of Christ, the inheritance of the Spirit without measure. And I will not stop until I see it and experience it. In Jesus' name, amen. We believe the Torah of God. We believe the Torah of the Holy.
Ingadala, Umbrados, Ipico, Tupico, Tongita, Yaka, Celebrata, no Predeles, no Predenda, no Predolom, Tigirendes, Jopini, Ra, Lera Massa, Lambraca Batoro, Lambraca Pulumus Mope, Lipritolumus Sengala, Lambri Tupiri, Reme, Yoko,
In Jesus' name, put one hand on your body. We pray for our healing and health. In the lives of this prophetic message, see how important it is to stay healthy and strong so that God can teach you to your face with this time. Sickness can cut you forth. It's not the will of God. Demons said, "No perish, but the poor ones will perish." We're so discouraged. Take your eyes off the circumstances and set them on the Lord. Looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Every great man of God in the Bible and in contemporary history have had the same experience. There are times of discouragement, there are times when things are not working out the way you thought they were going to work out. But it's the joy to know while you're waiting, it's not a passive waiting, it's an active waiting. Stay in prayer, stay in the word, stay healthy, stay in love, stay in protection, so you will live long enough to see the glory. Put one hand on your body, raise your hand to God. Say, "Father, I confess our sins to the clean of the blood. In Jesus' name we have God. Say, Lord, have mercy on us, and we pray. Say, Father, I thank you that by the Christ of Jesus, I have been legally set free from sickness and disease. Because Jesus himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses, setting me legally free. Therefore, no sickness, no disease has a legal right in my body, and by your mercy, grace and resurrection power will not permit them to stay in my body. So I declare with my mouth that by his resurrection life and power, I am healed, I release healing life and power into my mortal body now, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, into my heart, my liver, my kidneys, all of my internal organs, my blood vessels, into every cell of my body, into the nucleus of the cells, into the DNA, and I say, operate, error free, in the name of Jesus. I say, I am healed, and I live in divine healing and health. I keep the laws. I keep the laws of hygiene and natural medicine, of diet, of physical exercise, and of rest. In Jesus' name, amen. He can tell us how to get to this. Very much to be in. She is beautiful about you. She is beautiful on us. He can tell us how to be in. He can tell us how to be in.
Run back to Tomo 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 Number two, 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 number No pedias, no pedias, no pedias, no pedias, no pedias,
in Jesus' name. Just give us something for a minute, we'll go to that case in a minute. See that this physical living is made real for you. Love you faithful over the emotion of destiny. Before you can be trusted with the anointing of Hebrew, you need to be faithful with the anointing of Hebrew before you can be trusted with the anointing of Hebrew. Except you are thinking that is not announced, you cannot do the vision of glory. That is why God has set into the system. No man can change it. The principle of following after. Get it? And you're faithful in that little, and God sees it, and you're faithful in that little one. The anointing of Hebron is more than the anointing of Hebron. The anointing of Zion is more than the one of Hebron. His faithfulness from one level can teach you the next level. And you're not going to get there in isolation. You're going to feel that following those who are ahead of you in this world. Luke could never meet those without following them. Stupidity. So make up your mind and make sure you uphold these principles. Be faithful in little, and then you have to do it again. The Lord blessed me in you. The Lord made his face smile upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are 8 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies. In the gate of death. For you are living, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With no life of God satisfied, and sharing his salvation in the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So, Lord, we pass on through the Lord of Enoch, of Abraham, of Jacob, of Moses, of Jephthah, of Ruth, of David, of Elijah, of Daniel. Of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the great fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, tell us at your temple available, God will make you ruler over the earth. Peace.